Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
I just have to order my news, like
on Amazon.
Huh?
News? No.
Thank you, Bree. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki, Bree, and Jacob. How you doing?
I'm not here. Don't lie to the people.
Decent. I am awake and refreshed because I've been sleeping a lot.
I would hope you're awake at 4:30 in the afternoon.
I'm cooking.
What are you cooking?
I am making, right now I'm cooking the chicken for my pasta that I'm making.
Okay.
Nice.
And a pasta?
I do penne arrugate, and I put spaghetti sauce and chicken in it, and then a whole fuck ton of Parmesan cheese.
Do you make your own pasta sauce, or is it out of a jar?
I use Classico. I'm far too lazy to make my own.
Classico?
Yeah, I like Classico.
I know that there was something fucked with you. Jesus.
Well,
Ashley makes our spaghetti sauce.
That is an amazing sauce.
It is a very special recipe from our friend Mustin, who gave it to us specifically because of one thing. I hate onions. And there's always onions in spaghetti sauce. He makes onion-free spaghetti sauce.
Nice.
And it's delicious.
Wait, so like, if it's onion powder, you're like,
powder, it works. If there's a chunk of an onion, I gag.
Well, then, so why don't you just get like ragu or something?
Because there's onion chunks in there.
There isn't.
Little tiny onions. Dude.
Bullshit.
I can taste them.
I
can taste them.
I'm. If I you know bite what?
Into one, it's,
you know what? All right. You know what? Next week for the show, I don't have a video camera. Damn. Uh-huh. I was going to say next week I will buy a jar of ragu and I will just sit there drinking it the next episode.
I have like eight screen cameras. I can totally send you one.
Just to prove to you that there is no onion chunks, because I will drink it with a straw.
A straw can get a tiny little chunk of it.
Oh my god. But then I would notice it, though, because the onion would probably clog up the straw.
You think chunk is in, like, a diced tomato. I think chunk is in, like, a parsley flake.
Onion. But you just said onion powder would be okay.
Yes, because that's powder.
And now I'm learning that ragu is an actual thing, not just a brand. The hell?
What do you mean?
Like if you look up, does ragu have onions? Like, they're like, yes, but then it's just like all of these recipes for like authentic. What does ragu mean anyway? What does ragu mean? Get my big points in while I figure this shit out. A sauce typically made with ground meat, onions, tomato puree, and red wine served with pasta. So it's an actual type of tomato sauce.
Yes. Mm.
I went on to walmart.com and I browsed to ragu. Clicked on ingredients. Tomato puree, soybean oil, salt, sugar, dried onions.
I'm going to make you do blind taste tests this summer. Like, I'm just going to like eat cook up all these different. It's going to be like the Pepsi versus Coke things back in like the late 80s that they used to do at supermarkets. Nah, we're going to do that with tomato sauce to make Joe blind.
Now I want Crystal Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Right?
Goo brand.
Those are really good.
Mm-hmm.
like McDonald's. If I order a burger from McDonald's and say no onions, and they put onion, like a single onion fell on it and they brushed it off, and I take a bite, I will taste it and I will gag. I fucking hate onions.
Missing out, dude.
Yep. Not on these nuts. So, how is everyone's week?
Good. Prepping for vacation. I'm excited about that. I'll be gone next week, but I will call in to the show and do some reviews. So you guys will still hear my voice next week.
Yay. Aki, how was your week? Aki's
cooking.
Hey,
Jacob,
Joe,
how was your week?
Did you know that there's a Reddit community called Onion Hate? And it's just about people trying, like, obviously they hate onions, but just so you know, Prego tomato basil garlic does not have onions in it. So, you know, if you want to go to the store, you can always buy that brand.
Or I could have mustard sauce, which is really good.
Don't call it mustard sauce. That sounds.
Have you had it, Jacob? Like, have we?
Yes, I've had it
when you visited.
Yes. It's amazing. Like, no, I'm not disagreeing with that. Okay. Just don't call it mustard sauce. That sounds like it's
mustard sauce.
Yeah, that sounds like it's coming from other places.
That is the name of this episode.
No, please. That we're good.
Mustard sauce. Yep, that's written down. That's the thing. That's the title now. Not only are we re-recording the news, we are rewriting the episode.
Works for me.
Yay. Speaking of news, should we get to it?
Now everyone can join the Onion Hate Reddit group.
Yeah, should we hit news?
Let's do it.
All right. PlayStation Plus monthly games for June were announced. They are getting NBA 2K25, Alone in the Dark, some more Destiny 2 DLC. Jacob, you'll be excited for this one. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Oh, hell yeah.
I still want to play Alone in the Dark. I'm not going to jump over to PlayStation to do it. That's a whole lot of money and setup just for that. But yeah, I still want to play that.
Free.
It's really
good. Did I call that on Thursday when I said Jacob would be excited about Cyberpunk?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I want everyone to play that game. It's great. If you love Jet Set Radio, it's pretty much that.
All right.
Shit. There are rumors of a very likely delay for Marathon from Sony and Bungie. Sony's apparently canceled all paid marketing plans for the game. The recent plagiarism scandal seems to have an effect on this situation. What are your thoughts? Do you think Marathon's in trouble?
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. It has to finish in the top five in sales for all games this year. For it to be considered a success or something like that. And, like, God only knows how much it fucking cost Sony to make. Like, honestly, I think it's going to be DLA. I really do.
I wouldn't be shocked. Like,
I think
something that does shock me is that Raider Biz just subbed for the 38th month. Thank you so much, Raider Biz. Thank you for hanging out on this mid Saturday afternoon.
Hi, Ashley.
Jacob says hi.
I see her in the background.
He says hi, Jacob.
All I heard was Jacob.
Which all you deserve, really.
Yeah, I don't get the
hi. No, I want to say hi.
Bree says hi. Said hi to you and everybody.
All right.
It's covering all her bases.
All right.
Except Aki, because Aki's not here.
Yeah, I think Sony's cutting their losses with Marathon, and like they just see the writing on the wall. Like, that's.
Do you think they're going to Concord it?
It's possible.
I mean, the thing is that Marathon's releasing on all systems, right? I mean, it's Xbox, PS5, and PC, right?
Yep.
It might already be too big to fail.
It might.
Kind of situation.
Yeah.
And again, Concord was too big to fail. How many years and millions did they sink into that game?
Plus the TV show. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. My question is, Sony going to close Bungie?
Well, I mean, they're still doing fine with Destiny, aren't they?
I don't know. I don't play it, but I don't hear about it much at all anymore.
I mean, the only thing I've heard lately about Destiny is that lawsuit where the judge was just like, I'm not sitting through a 10-hour lore video. Like,
fair to them.
So, yeah, I don't know. God, I hope that this isn't the closure of Bungie, but I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't be surprised. It would be nice if Microsoft picked them back up, like, right at the ship. Like, or...
Bungie is the hoe of the video game world.
Eventually it'll be Nintendo's turn to buy them. Or Sega. Huh. That might not be bad for Sega. Free use,
Bungie. Oh, Jesus. Let's see. EA canceled their planned Black Panther game and shuttered Cliffhanger Studios.
Yikes.
That sucks, but I mean, I'm guessing that the game was probably like nowhere near ready.
According to my notes, they also fired some people from their mobile division and other places. So there was just layoffs in general.
Yeah, and there were also rumors that Codemasters was on the chopping block, but EA has come out and stated that there are no truth to that. Mm-hmm. Codemasters is fine.
Yeah, I heard that rumor as well.
I'm just going to go with 4 now on that.
Yeah, that's that's not a... You don't just randomly say, yeah, they're doing fine. We're not going to chop them off. Like, no.
Yeah, not going to be good. But allegedly, Marvel still has 3 other Marvel games in development with EA. So
I can't remember what the heck they are.
I don't know. No clue. There's too much shit. After 33 days, Expedition 33 has sold 3.3 million copies.
I am so happy for them. It's such a great game.
The numbering makes me so happy.
Oh, it's very satisfying.
It's like whenever I do a show and I like pick out timestamps for parts of the show and I get something like 42 minutes on the dot, I'm like, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the latest episode is 223.00.
All right.
223 on the dot. That makes me smile because I'm dumb.
Eh. I like those things. I love looking at my clock and it's like, you know, 10:10 or 11:11.
Or 420, lol. Right, Jacob? Right, Jacob? Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D Remake launches October 30th for Xbox Series, PS5, PC, Switch, and Switch 2.
All right.
Okay.
I believe the game is $50, or you can go to the Square Enix store and get a, quote, collector's edition for $150.
Yikes.
That includes some acrylic statues.
Wow.
Let me see if I could find the link, because this is a depressing collector's edition.
Aww.
Square Enix store. Like, it... I think Chris already pre-ordered it, which I think is hilarious, but I kind of knew he would. But there is the link. There is collector's edition. At least they're offering it on Xbox, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get the Xbox collector's edition, yeah, it has Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D Remake Standard Edition Physical Game, Outstanding Outfit Kit In-Game Item, 2 Exclusive Digital Wallpapers, and the Character and Monster Acrylic Blocks Set.
I'm not one for collector's editions anymore. I used to collect a lot of stuff like that, but man, price is steep for...
I used to too, and then I got married, and then my wife would kill me.
Is that what happens in marriage?
A picture sometimes. Of it up on screen so you can see what exactly you get in this collector's edition for $150.
Yeah.
That is awful. That is absolutely abysmal.
It should include a minimum of oral sex if it's going to be $150.
Digital wallpapers? Fucking really? That's going so in your collector's edition?
That's so 2000s.
Oh. The thing that annoys me is this outstanding outfit kit that they have in there. It has a ring of strength, slime earring, some vest, and a cap. Only in the collector's edition.
Yep. That's stupid.
There's no digital deluxe that has that. Gotta buy the collector's edition. It's possible those items might be unlockable through gameplay later in the game. But still, that's dumb to lock DLC behind $150 collector.
Yeah.
Totes ridic.
How else are they going to tempt people to waste all their damn money?
Atomic Hearts has hit 10 million players across all platforms.
Woot.
Awesome. That was a decent game. Good on them.
Alien Hominid HD and Alien Hominid Invasion are hitting PlayStation June 10th.
Nice. Hmm.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I've never been a fan of the series. Like, it's not, I don't know. I was never good at it. So that's probably on me. But
are you good at anything?
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Is there a goal to that to be bad at?
I mean, theoretically you could be. I mean, you just never do anything. You would just stand there.
Going back to Atomic Heart, apparently the developers Mundfish are starting up a publishing company called Mundfish Powerhouse.
Okay.
Any more info? Like, well, what are they going to be publishing?
Good question. I just saw that come across my feed earlier, so I'm looking at it now.
Here's some news. Multiverses is officially dead and delisted. RIP.
Oh no.
And the world wept a single tear, and the world's smallest violin played.
Yeah.
I don't even remember if I still have it on my Xbox. Like, I downloaded it and I logged in because you had to like log in by X amount of time for it to have like the proper update to play offline and stuff like that, but yeah, my kids tried to get into it, but frankly they were just like, we don't know who half these characters are, and we like Nickelodeon All-Stars more. Which is funny because they also don't know who half that cast is, but they just prefer that game and literally just about every other one like that. Like, they're still playing the Kung Fu Panda game that got delisted forever ago.
Nice. Let's see. What other news do we have here? People are pissed off about Black Ops 6 and Warzone because they're putting ads in the loadout screen.
Gross.
Sounds about right.
Yep. The loadout screen has like store links, like buy this shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
Yeah, very gross.
I mean, isn't Warzone a free-to-play game, though?
I can almost understand it with Warzone, but in Black Ops 6, the paid version?
All right, that one's fair. Man, this has been a slippery slope since, like, I mean, okay, granted, I realize this isn't EA, but, like, remember, like, back, Rainbow Six Vegas 2? And they did, like, Tropic Thunder. Like, there were, like, just Tropic Thunder movie posters everywhere throughout the levels.
I don't remember that, but...
Well, I'm just like, huh. We went from that to this. How terrible.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Dragon Quest XI S is nearing 8.5 million sales. The series, Dragon Quest series, is now over 94 million units sold.
Wow.
I think that series has potential.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Last bit of news I have. Reports are saying that despite the massive amount of players that Doom the Dark Ages has been boasting about, sales have apparently not even hit 1 million yet, potentially as low as 800,000.
Wow, that's kind of surprising, actually.
I'm not going to lie. It
was a highly anticipated game.
Was it, though? Like, I don't remember, like, any, like, real buzz, like, leading up to it. It was just kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a new Doom on the way. Like, all right, so at work, like, we actually have, like, a Slack channel for gaming, and nobody ever discussed it, like, at all. And, like, they'll discuss, like, hell, let me fire it up. I mean, it turns out I actually brought a bunch of Disney Dreamlight Valley people out of, like, the closet. They were just like, oh, my. No, like, I'm dead serious. Like, they were just like, oh, like, especially, like, a bunch of guys. Like, they're just like, oh, I didn't know other guys played this. And I'm like, yeah, of course other guys play this. But, yeah, like, they're discussing, like, Void War, Expedition 33, Pokemon, like... Rocket League, like, they play, like, all sort PUBG apparently still, but, like, they'll discuss, like, all sort Grand Theft Auto, like, they'll play, like, all sorts of stuff. Nobody's been discussing Doom. Like,
Big Adam fucking loved it. He said he rolled credits on it and one of his favorite games of the year. Like, I've heard nothing but good about it, but apparently people just aren't buying it. I'm going to guess because it's $70.
And also on Game Pass.
Yeah. But that doesn't explain the lack of sales on PlayStation or PC. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did find one more little bit of news. Witcher 3 in conjunction, I guess, with its 10th year anniversary, is getting mod support on console.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Witcher 3 mods coming to console. It's apparently going to be cross-platform mods with PC and PlayStation. Like, universal mods for all platforms.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, in support of the anniversary, Microsoft announced Witcher 3... standard and elite controllers, and then they sold out immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. Microsoft Store exclusive. I don't think they lasted a day, and now they're like triple price on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, scalpers. You're fucking awesome. Really fucking nice looking elite controller.
Anywho.
Hockey, any news on your end?
Nope.
All right.
Ree, what about you?
Cyberpunk 2, previously known as Project Orion, is now in pre-production.
Okay. I enjoyed, like, the 5 hours that I played of Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah,
I need to go back to that game, too. And it was really good, but I just, like, the timing of it hit wrong.
Yep. Same for me. And
for a big kids. Game. Yeah. Oh, that is a pretty controller. Shit.
Yep.
What did Joe upload it on the...
It's on stream right now.
Okay, I have a Sensodyne commercial right now.
Oh. Nice. Are you going to buy it?
Sensodyne? Yes. I mean, I used to brush my teeth with it, but I became a Colgate guy, really. after... this is a really dumb story, but I was in Albuquerque back in 2013 for a conference, and the hotel there had this Colgate that did, like, it looked like it was gonna be mint flavor, but it was actually kind of like an orangey flavor. It was really good, and like ever since I've just stuck with Colgate brand stuff. So congratulations, hotel marketing, you finally got one.
Okay.
I told you it was a dumb story. Like, I mean, I warned y'all. That is a nice looking controller, though. I don't know if I'd want it, though. Like, I get it, but I wouldn't want it.
I want it so bad.
Of course you do. You're a consumer whore.
The Elite. I've been using the surprisingly same since I was a kid. Surprisingly, the Elite was only $170, which I don't think is bad for a limited controller. Did they make four of them and that's it? Hmm. How did they sell out in a day?
People were just on top of that.
Like, I didn't even know they existed until they were sold out.
Maybe because it's The Witcher 3, they only made three.
Oh, good point.
That makes more sense. All right, Bree, what other news you got?
Really just a rumor. There's more rumors flying around about Half-Life 3 again. Sources saying that it could finally be time in a matter of days that it could be announced for release.
Yeah, it could have been days that it was announced for release for the past, 10 years now.
Yeah.
I'll believe it's actually made when they announce it, and I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I mean, I like the rumors that it's already ready to drop.
Yeah. So.
Hey, maybe okay. It'll shadow drop at Summer Game Fest.
There you go.
Or, get this, Xbox Showcase as an Xbox exclusive.
That's never going to happen.
I can't even get it out without laughing. But possibly an all-platform release. It could show up on every... You never know.
That would be cool.
Orange Box 2, where it has... everything, including Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
I guess.
I love the orange box. I have it sitting, within arm's reach of me right now. I just pop it in the 360 and go.
I'm one of the lucky ones who got it digital before it got delisted.
So I have
it installed on my series.
No, I still have my original disc.
Wait, what is it?
The orange box?
Oh, I have it both ways.
Ooh, you like it both ways, don't you?
Yeah, both disc and digital download.
Dick and digital. I have the Left 4 Dead's digital as well before those got delisted. It sucks how many games have been delisted.
Yeah, it'd be nice if that shit was kept around, but it is what it is. Once it costs more for them to keep track of the money that they're bringing in from it than they're actually getting, they don't want to leave it up anymore.
Yeah. What else, Bree?
That's all I got.
That's it.
Dang. All right.
Jacob, what do you got?
I got a bunch of news that y'all missed out on previously, so now I get to tell y'all. The Switch 2, which is releasing in a week or something, It's already out in the wild. People have already received theirs, but guess what? It needs a day one update to even function.
I thought we talked about this last week, didn't we? Oh,
I don't think so.
Nope, because it didn't get reported until the 27th.
Yeah, that's funny. Apparently, some Russian got it through illegitimate means, but can't.
That's probably why it has that day one patch, is specifically just in case something like that happened.
I wouldn't be shocked. That is a Nintendo.
Yep.
So we got that. The ZeniMax Media has reached a contract agreement with Microsoft, or its union at ZeniMax. So the over 300 quality assurance workers have their contracts renewed. So that's cool.
Very nice.
If you're interested at Goodwill, there is a Concord devs commemorative release plaque that's being auctioned. It got removed.
What?
Oh no. Concord plaque? Let's see. Oh no, they removed it. They took it off. Oh, that sucks. It had gotten into, last time I saw, all right, so Video Game Chronicles, when they reported it the other day on the 29th, so it was 2 days ago, it was at like $2,526.
Damn.
And it's been removed. I could have sworn I heard it made it up to like 9,000 something. But jeez. Yeah, so that got pulled. Chelsea Grace was the one who sold it or had dropped it off at Goodwill. So I'm wondering if maybe that was a mistake. Anyway, NetherRealm Studios has
This is somewhat related. I saw an article earlier today that somebody found what could quite possibly be the rarest game ever created. It was something released in like 99. I'm trying to, I can't find the page. It was some Japanese title. And there's thought to be one single copy in existence that a guy bought for $300.
Mm.
That's it. One copy known to exist. And it got $300. Path of Exile has packs more expensive than that.
Trying to see if, yeah, I'm trying to see if I could find it real quick. I'm not seeing anything, but who knows? Maybe you'll find it and could report on it next week. NetherRealm Studios has announced that they are ending Mortal Kombat 1 support as focus will be shifting to the next project, which everyone assumes is Injustice 3, but nothing's been said yet.
Oh, well.
Oh, found it. Trippy Taka is the name of the game. It was a sequel to Cosmology of Kyoto. The original title was released in 93 in Japan by Soft Edge. And the sequel is so obscure that only a single physical copy is known to exist. The guy who bought it ripped the ISO and uploaded it with permission of the creator.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Nice.
There we go. $300. That's it.
World Rally. Nacon is going to be. Oh my God. Nacon is going to be the new home of the World Rally Championship titles after EA dropped it. It's going to start. They're going to start publishing new ones in 2027. I guess that means it's going to go on through 2032. Dyslexic today. So WRC fans, it's going to be a couple of years, but you're going to get more titles.
That's good to hear. I'm still worried about Codemasters, no matter what EA says.
So next week I'm excited because we have a Disney Dreamlight developer update on June 4th, where they're going to talk about what's releasing this summer involved with the Skull Island thing. A lot of people are suspecting we're either going to get Pirates of the Caribbean or Peter Pan characters and costumes and stuff like that to run around in. But yeah, we'll find that out. And because I know we're also trying to rush through it, I'll save this for next week. But I got to take another survey as to what we'd be interested in for Disney Dreamlight Valley. So I'm going to spoil all that stuff next week.
Give us some highlights, at least. I don't want to deprive you of that.
Ah, damn it, man. Okay, hold on. I have to dig it all
he
up.
Just
now.
Closed. Oh,
I thought you knew by memory. Jesus.
No, no. No, I took a shitload of screenshots while I was doing the. The big thing off the top of my head was that there were a bunch of Winnie the Pooh characters that got tossed in with the would you like to see these characters in a future thing? And I think that's because, you know, obviously Winnie the Pooh and characters are now in the public domain, so they're just like, screw it, like, we're adding them in now. All right, I found the screenshots. We got Pocahontas. Fuck it. I'll just talk about it next week. But yeah, Pocahontas was brought up too, and I was like, interesting. All right.
Yeah.
So, Outright Games, which we are brand ambassadors for, announced two new games coming out in this September. We have NBA Bounce, which is going
that
to be
has like, my interest. That looks cute.
Yeah, it's going to be I think it's going to be like a 3-on-3 basketball game thing that is solo or co-op. You can do full seasons, party modes, all sorts of stuff. You can choose from all 30 NBA teams. And what's fun is that mascots can even get in on the mix. So you're actually going to be able to run around as the different mascots. Now, they haven't said... I'm trying to get confirmation whether all mascots are going to be involved or if it's just the six that they showed in the trailer. But yeah, like I think it looks kind of cool. And my oldest is kind of into basketball, so I think he's going to enjoy that. And then for all you who thought Doom the Dark Ages was the most hardcore, intense game of the year, this fall, Bratz Rhythm and Style
is yes
going to come out. So we're getting a new Bratz game, and you're going to go off to various iconic cities, and you're going to be going up against Berdine and the Tweevle twins, who are determined to steal the spotlight. Can you outstyle and outdance them in epic fashion battles? Take on the challenge, party in single or multiplayer with up to 4 players. It's time to express yourself.
You better get your balls ready.
So I enjoyed the first Bratz game. Like I thought it was really chill.
I liked it too.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how this turns out. Although to be honest, I was more of a Rainbow High kind of fan in terms of these kind of games. So last bit of news I have. Kenan and Kel's Kel Mitchell is launching his own orange soda brand.
Awesome.
So what it is
going to
be...
All right, Jacob, it's up to you to secure a sponsorship for that.
I'm hoping so. So what it is that what he wants to do is make a orange soda that is a healthier alternative to what's on... the store shelves right now, and so he wants to make it like focused towards people who want soda, especially kids who, you know, aren't just getting like all the nasty fructose and sugar and stuff like that in there. So that's eventually going to be coming.
Nice.
Very cool. All right. Bree, did you check out the new Power Wash DLC?
I did not.
Muckingham Files Part 6 released.
I haven't finished Wallace and Gromit or Shrek yet. I still need to finish those. So that's on my... That might be something I do on vacation while I'm relaxing, drinking my coffee.
Hold up. Wait, what are you doing with Shrek and Wallace and Gromit?
Cleaning.
You don't want to know.
I mean, I do. I didn't know if we were talking about video games.
Yes.
Oh.
SML After Dark.
I'm really confused.
Good. All right, any other news or should we move on to the reviews?
Let's move on.
First game to talk about, Deliver at All Costs, code provided to us by Konami for this coverage. Developed by Studio Far Out Games, published by Konami, released May 22nd, Series X and S, PS5 and PC, $29.99. Delivered All Costs is a thrilling action game where destruction, absurdity, and intrigue collide. Step into the shoes of Winston Green, a down-on-his-luck courier, a fiery temper and a mysterious past, as he delivers highly unconventional cargo, leaving a trail of havoc and chaos behind him. Bree, tell us about Deliver at All Costs.
Well, it's set in 1959 on the island of St. Monique. Winston Green is an engineer savant with no job, down on his luck, and rent is 3 months overdue at the Flamingo Motel where he lives. By some luck, we find out that the weed deliver company is hiring, so we head there and try and get a job. We have a car we can borrow to get to the interview, but no instructions on how to drive, so I hit what I assumed was the gas, and comically, the game has the car automatically reverse into the building behind you, destroying it, and that is to help prepare you for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah. We have two driving styles to choose from. Standard, where you steer relative to the car, and simplified, where you steer toward the direction you're pointing relative to the screen. I went with standard because it was recommended. There are navigational arrows on the ground to guide you to your destination, showing the easiest routes. Alternate paths may be faster, but more dangerous, like flying through buildings and people. You can also shove people out of the way because they will get mad and shove and push you down when you're on foot. Back to the story, we get the job, and our first delivery is a crate of volatile fireworks. It's a crazy drive with them going off and destroying things as we drive. You have to dodge the flaming bits, and all the cars and people are freaking out because of the fireworks all the way on to your destination. And second delivery is a crate of melons, but the crate breaks, so we have to carefully drive loose melons in our pickup truck. There are several acts to the story about the company and Winston's past. Once you complete a job, you go into free roam mode. You can radio for the next job when you're ready. You can find all kinds of things in free roam, from beautiful landscape view sites to crates full of money and hidden treasure chests full of parts you'll need to upgrade your inventions later. You can hide in dumpsters for some reason. I haven't found a use for that yet. You'll also come across civilians in need of help, and they will give you blueprints for your effort that you can use to build gadgets and upgrade your truck in the workshop later. There are also shops you can buy blueprints and supplies in, including a very expensive key that will unlock all the secrets on the map. It's like $5,000 or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. The game has a three-quarter top-down isometric view and 3D cutscenes. Game is gorgeous. There are an impressive amount of moving parts to this game, from pedestrians and other cars to all the destructible parts like buildings and trees and cars and things. There are a ton of zany deliveries you have to do, like dodging a rock slide going up a mountain with a seismograph, delivering balloons, which makes the truck go airborne a lot. And then there's a statue you need to haul back from the stone cutter while dodging seagulls that are actively trying to shit all over the statue. even though you can just drive through things, it actually behooves you to drive as good as you can. I think it's important to note that there was way more story to this than I was expecting from the trailer. I just figured we were going to be making a bunch of deliveries at high speed, doing slides through buildings and dodging cars. But there's a bigger story going on about a beautiful island being strip mined for its resources, an honest company dealing with threats of competition, and the evil Atomic Energy Corporation looming over it all. The characters have some depth to them. We get to know several NPCs across many chapters and acts. We have a narrator and good voice acting. Smaller NPCs have little lines, like the garbage man says, "Stop talking trash!" And I did get sick of our coworker Norman saying, "You're quite the driver, Winston," because he said it like a million times because I was driving really badly. The radio has like old timey ads on it that are cute about like losing your hair and stuff like that. The music is fabulous 50s rock done with a band. You can turn the licensed audio off if you're streaming, which I appreciate as a streamer. Each major part of the island has its own music, where some music is more island-themed or surf rock, and some's a little jazzier. It was a good soundtrack. It was a fairly small team building the game, judging from the credits. Certain people wore a lot of hats. two random notes out in the middle of nowhere that don't connect to anything else. You can remap the controls, which is nice. You can respawn your car at any payphone, which is very helpful when you're just wrecking your car or you get on foot and you're like looking for crates and things and you lose track of your car. I'd also mention there are a lot of missions, or that a lot of the missions outside of a couple of achievements are fairly low stakes. If you fail and your truck explodes, and it will, or you lose all your cargo, you'll just restart at a checkpoint with a little more leeway until you can manage to complete the challenge.
Thank you Knowing for the that sub, makes Jordan. Appreciate you being here.
But yeah, knowing that makes the game a little easier, but it also removes some of the pressure and urgency to complete it the first time. Some might see that as a bad thing. I found it helpful to know that if I fail, like I can like do it without starting the whole mission completely over. But all in all, this reminded me of kind of like a 1950s style OG GTA with the driving and running people over. Less splatter though. There's not any blood. Where you deliver things instead of selling cars or stealing cars rather. Although you can drive any parked car you come across. And like I said earlier, there's a lot more story to it than I was expecting. So I had fun with it.
Cool. Cat has a chirping toy.
Oh, my cat is playing with her chirping toy.
Anyway, $30 verdict.
I would say buy it.
All right, moving on. Retro Classics, developed by Antstream, published by Xbox Game Studios. Released May 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, and the Windows Store, is a Game Pass exclusive title. Discover timeless classics and hidden gems with Game Pass. Retro Classics includes over 50 restored and ready-to-play games available for Xbox Game Pass members. Power up your play with community challenges, competitive leaderboards, all new challenge modes, high score rankings, and more. Bree and Jacob, both you dabbled with this one. Bree, start us off with Retro Classics.
So yeah, first of all, this collection's only playable with your Game Pass subscription. This is part of Xbox's commitment to game preservation and backwards compatibility, and it's pretty awesome. I know backwards compatibility program is a little bit different, but they recently Bring it talked back. About that. Yes, I know, right? Before... This currently 61 game collection was done in conjunction with Antstream, so if you're familiar with that, this is really similar. If you aren't, here's a quick breakdown. You have a search bar where you can type in games you're looking for and categories you can select, like PlayStation, Sports, Sierra, Activision, Amiga, Atari 2600, SNES, and DOS. I really like seeing them by category, but it was nice to know I could also search if I had a favorite or few. You have collectibles you can buy with gems that you earn, like characters and other little avatar type pictures. You can collect old consoles and other things with your gems. And there are achievements for collecting certain consoles and all of the different collectibles. There's an achievement for getting all of them. So a little bit Did of a grind there. No. You earn gems by doing challenges like the daily challenge mix. Playing games earns you XP that goes towards your player level and unlocks different icons based on your rank. There's a profile and social tab. On the profile, you can see your games recently played, your current XP, and how much to the next level, the number of achievements, your top three genres, the amount of games you've played in the collection, and your favorite games. In social, you can see the profiles of people on your friends list and what their stats are for some friendly competition. Speaking of competition, there are tournaments you can enter for a gem cost. And if you get in the top 30, there's huge gem reward pots to share. The more players who enter, the bigger the pot. Current weekly tournament is in Enduro. Enduro. There we go. I can say that word. on the main page, you'll see community challenges, trending games, new games, and games picked for you based on your other games played. I'm going to pretty much play them all, so I'm sure the algorithm's going to screw that up and just like list the most random things imaginable. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that on almost every screen, you'll have the opportunity to see an ad for Antstream Arcade so that you know exactly who put this collection together. There you go.
Speaking of, they were nice enough to hook us up with a copy of a year subscription to AntStream that we'll be giving away later on in the show.
So that is fantastic.
Stick around for that.
Yeah. I've talked about the app. Let's talk about the games. There are plans to add even more games over time, but the list is pretty cool so far. Joe posted a full list of available games last week in the Discord. You can find other lists online. Some highlights for me were the Dawson Sierra Games Collection, like Quests for Glory, Robin Hood, The Dagger of Amun-Ra, Torrent's Passage, and Zork 1 and Zork 0. I know Jacob was pretty excited for Zork.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's one of the things I really do like about this collection, that, like, not only is it just, like, arcade kind of games, but, like, the fact that they, like, go into Zork and Space Quest. Wait, am I pulling up the wrong title? No, not Space Quest.
Police Quest was on there, I believe.
Space Quest 2 and 6.
Are in the retro Police thing?
Quest for the
Amiga. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like we're also getting like those kind of like adventure games from way back in the day where you really had to use your imagination. It's good that they're being preserved and made available for this.
Yeah. I actually thought it was really interesting. The Torrent's Passage one is a point and click adventure from Al Lowe, best known for Leisure Suit Larry. He made this game to play with his 11-year-old daughter who helped design and the maze puzzle in the volcano area of the game. So I'm looking forward to finishing that one. That one's really cool. From the 2600 collection, you might recognize stuff like Pitfall, Trick Shot, Kaboom, Barnstorming, Enduro, Grand Prix, Title Match Pro Wrestling. For me,
Hero.
Stand out
with loved Hero. Hero was awesome.
Yeah? I didn't know that one off the top of my head.
I played that so much as a kid.
The one I played most as a kid was Atlantis, so I was really excited that was my favorite as a kid.
Do you think we'll see E.T.?
You are not even the first person to suggest that Apex. Oh my gosh.
Who knows at this point?
I mean, that would be Venetian blinds. I know, I'm going to talk about that in a second. I mean, since you mentioned it, apparently that was a tech demo that was never released to show off what they could do with the graphical programming technique called Venetian blinds. The demo was meant as a joke, but the sunset was later used as a background for Barnstorming. I thought that was a pretty cool little bit of trivia there.
Yeah, I tried figuring that one out and got totally lost.
There's a challenge they've created where you can, you know, slide up and down to get points. But there's no actual game to the original game, which is pretty cool.
Okay. All right, good.
It's just a tech demo. Nope, all you do is you raise and lower the blinds. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And even though I have no interest in playing in it, there's MechWarrior 1 and 2 available to play as well. On each game page, you'll find a number of options, like setting a game to a favorite, mapping keys on the controller, individual game leaderboards, challenges, and instructions and trivia for the game, too. Like I was telling you about Torrent's Passage and Venetian Blinds, that's all in the trivia section of the game page. And some games have multiplayer capability. Games will show you the year that they were released, the genre, the system they were on, and the publisher. And lastly, and most importantly, you have 3 save slots, save states that you can create for each game. Make sure you press the select button and not the start button for the global menu, though, because start either starts or restarts the game. And I restarted my games a lot by accident.
Way too many times.
Yeah, way too many times. User interface wise, I like the general layout of the user interface. It's a familiar and similar tile selection to the Xbox homepage and store. I did find that I pressed up a lot and often ended up back at the Play Now tab, which was really frustrating. The profile tab is very similar to the Xbox profile page as well. Jacob, you got some notes on your end?
I commented on pretty much all I had to say.
Okay.
I mean, you covered it really well. So, like, I think that there's a lot to like in here. So I think if you've got an Xbox Game Pass subscription, definitely check it out.
Yeah. I mean, all in all, I'm having a great time with this collection. I think you will too. If you like retro games and you want to play them on modern consoles with achievements and challenges, like, I'd say play this, because we can't buy it. You can get Game Pass, though, which is one of the best deals in gaming. You get content on Xbox and PC. You get day one releases, online play, deals, and more for $19.99 a month for Ultimate.
This is a little off topic of a tangent, but I want to get your opinions on something.
Okay.
There are a lot of people who said we will never, ever see a Game Pass exclusive title. This is a Game Pass exclusive title. And the people who are saying that it quote doesn't count are like, oh, well, it's just a compilation of 40-year-old games. That doesn't count. It's still an Xbox game. And if you want to be an asshole, there's over 50 Game Pass exclusive games now.
Yeah. Well, that is interesting. I didn't even think of it that way. But I mean, a lot of the games that they have are Activision owned properties.
Yep.
And that's part of why they can bring this collection up. So, yeah, that is an interesting take.
Yeah. Here's another question for you. How do you feel about the fact that they're all cloud games? Have you run into any issues? Because I know when I played Ant Stream Arcade on some of the more intense games, like I played Loaded on PS1, it would get choppy and laggy. And I worry about some of the game, like some of the more technically impressive games that could be in this collection or come to this collection, how they'll handle. Did you run into any lag issues, any playability issues?
I did not personally, but I didn't try any of the games like, you know, MechWarrior 2 to see if that would produce any lag.
I was going to say,
go ahead.
I had heard that MechWarrior 2 does not stream well on this, but I haven't tried it myself.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on retro classics?
I had a great time with it. Check it out.
Definitely.
Any good final thoughts?
I just said.
You have any final thoughts?
I just said, check it out.
Give us your final thoughts on retro classics.
You should check out retro classics.
Should we?
Probably.
Looking at true achievements, there's already over 57,000 people with an achievement in this game. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm glad to see this taken off really well. I hope we continue to get more games. I know Ant Stream Arcade itself has had an issue with losing some games, including like all the Warner Brothers stuff. Hopefully, because these are all Microsoft-owned titles, we won't have any issues with games going away. And they are promising to expand over 100 titles in the future. So let's hope things go well. But so far, in my eyes, I'm with you guys. It's a great start. And the best part of this one is it's not just Game Pass Ultimate. It's Game Pass. Standard, yes. Core, Ultimate, doesn't matter. You have Game Pass, you can play retro classics. But only if you have Game Pass, because it's a Game Pass exclusive. Oh, all right. Next up, Kvark, developed by Latest Past and Perrin Creative, published by Perrin Creative, released May 15th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $19.99. Get ready for an unforgettable journey into the heart of the 80s Czech Republic in Kvark, a gritty FPS experience where the stakes are life and death. You'll find yourself trapped in a decaying underground facility, walls crumbling and riddled with danger. Navigate dark tunnels, fight off deadly enemies, and survive the many challenges this dystopian world throws your way. Kvark is not just a game, it's a test of skill, endurance, and nerve. Aki, tell us about Kvark.
Okay, this is it's a shooter. And Depending on the difficulty you have, it is has a heavier focus on resource management and maybe not killing everything that's trying to kill you instead of running away. If you play it on easy like I did, because you're a little bitch, there's not really a big concern for resource management because it gives you plenty of ammunition. Thank fuck for that. And yeah, you come out of a literal jail cell, it appears, in an underground facility that has been, you know, doing human research and testing for, I don't know, but it somehow made a whole bunch of fucking zombies. So, you know, hey, good job. Now you're trying to fight your way out. There's other people like you who have been turned into monstrosities, be it slime-throwing cyborg-type individuals or just straight-up zombies. Some of the researchers have been changed as well, so and they are usually denoted by different outfits than everyone else, usually in full protective gear of, like, scientific gear to prevent, like, germs and shit from getting in. And yeah, you're just trying to shoot your way the fuck out. There's lots of little hidden areas like all the old games used to have back in ye olden days. And it actually pops up and tells you secret room or hidden room found or something like that. And after you get through a level, it'll tell you how many of the secrets you found. How many zombies you killed, how many times you died, things like that. So that's real nice. The levels are not particularly short. Even if you know what you're doing, it still takes a little while to get through each one of them. And technically, they're not listed as levels. They're listed as, I believe, chapters for each level instead. And so each level is extremely long. Because there's like a dozen or so chapters in each one, and each chapter is of a decent length. There's only three levels to the game in total, I'm pretty sure is what it was. And yeah, you find all sorts of different weapons, you get a fuck ton of ammo, you occasionally find, you know, half-eaten food that you can use to heal yourself, or some soda or something. To heal yourself with, and you're just killing things, I would suggest with headshots, because ammunition, at first, at the very least, is pretty limited, and if you're playing on the harder difficulties, remains fairly limited, and headshots actually do more damage, so yay to that! Also, there are rats in this game, so if you don't like rats, either this game's going to terrify you because they're chasing after you trying to eat your face, or you're going to be really happy because you get to kill the shit out of them. It really depends on you, just where your hatred of rats lies. And yeah, it's a pretty simple, straightforward game. There's not a whole lot to say about it. There's a boss at the end of every level, and that is the main three levels, and they're all a bitch to deal with, but the other enemies are all pretty simple. They're not particularly slow, and some of them use guns, so that becomes a problem. Sometimes you even find robots, not like the cyborg people, but actual like little flying robots that have machine guns, and those are real little bastards, because they're quick. And they shoot from lots of different places, which makes it very hard to figure out where they are until they've already nailed you a bunch with bullets. And yeah, there's not actually a whole bunch to say, because it is a pretty straightforward game. You just get from point A to point B. You know, sometimes they're like, oh, you need to get this door open. For that, you need to go to this other place and turn on the electricity. So you go from point A to point B and then back to point A again to get to point C, and life continues without a problem.
Hey, well, it's $20. What do you think?
I think for people who like these old school shooters and survival games, if you like this old stuff and you really want to play this retro, I think it's totally for you. If it's not, I think there's probably better games out there. Just because this has, you know, older style graphics and everything, and I know that's not a lot of people's cups of tea. So I think for people who like the retro, totally for you. Everyone else, it might be a skip it for you. Personally, I liked it. I think it's worth getting, though.
Next up, Spray Paint Simulator, developed by North Star Video Games, published by Whitethorn Digital. Released May 29th, Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $14.99. Available with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Bring color to the world in Spray Paint Simulator. Restore worn-out surfaces with a fresh coat of paint. Watch them come back to life. Use your spray tool with precision, cover every inch, and enjoy the satisfaction of a flawless finish. Step into Spatterville, where you'll build your own spray painting business. Meet the locals as you restore, repair, mask, and spray paint everything, from kitchens and local landmarks to a giant robot. Buy new tools and equipment, unlock free spray mode, and transform the town. Want to hear more about this game? We interviewed the fine folks at North Star a few episodes ago. Feel free to check out that episode. For now, Bree, what is the game?
Well, in this, you can spray paint all the things using your trusty spray paint gun. It is battery operated, so you need to be mindful of that by getting replacement batteries from the store. You also need to buy your paint. There's a good rainbow of colors, 36 different shades, with fun names like Waltz White, Dirty Dog, Red Red Redemption, Oopsie Daisy, and Elephant Burp. Those were some of my favorites. You'll need to buy the rest of your supplies, like paper and masking tape and ladders for taller jobs, too. You can also customize your character's hoodie, pants, mask, gloves, socks, and sneakers. Let's go over the basics of spraying. First, you have to mask or remove all the areas that shouldn't have paint on them, including the ground underneath things, or the ceiling, or whatever. Then you select the right paint for the job and get to spraying. You have a radio you can put down and listen to some tunes, and there's a decent variety of styles of music. You have an indicator you can press to show glowing white spots where paint isn't, or you can change that color. You have some options. Your basic nozzle has a wide line of spray, and you can turn it horizontal or vertical. There are a couple nozzles you can purchase for fine line sprays as well. By tapping a button, you can switch between aim modes, fixed or moving. I'll be honest, I like to move around with my sprayer, as opposed to having the sprayer move around while I stand still. But once in a while, it was nice to do the opposite. If you choose fixed, like I said, you can move your character around with the sprayer. You have three crouch levels to help you reach things at appropriate levels. You can jump, and you also have a headlamp you can turn on to get a better look at things. You can select segments of the job in the menu, and it will highlight the area for a short while. You also have the ability to see the name of the section you are spraying and the percentage complete by aiming the sprayer at it. To complete the job, you have to get 100% of the paint. Some parts were kind of autofill when you reach a certain percent complete. So it's like 98% or something on a segment.
It seemed to be more generous than Power Wash.
In some cases, yes. And then you get to peel off all the masking and replace things and sit back and enjoy a job well done. There are two modes, career and free spray. In career mode, you've just gone into business for yourself as a spray paint specialist. Our previous customer, Vincent, owes us some money and pays us to help get started. He can maybe lend us more money in the future if we need it. If you screw up in the beginning, he'll totally just drop $500 on you. We take varied and bigger jobs as we go along. You start off with a car and a mobster's kitchen. You get bigger jobs like the bridge, bigger tools like a cherry picker. There are multi-stage projects where you'll have to mask some parts that you'll later end up painting a separate color than you start with. And then in free spray mode, you can have all the same jobs, but you can just be creative. The first job wants you to do is like learning the basics of spray painting. You spray paint your clothes, but you can also paint the room, the floor, the ceiling, and all. And if you want to redo the same job, you can opt to clear all paint and start over, which is nice. It'll save your progress otherwise. The free spray is also co-op enabled. So in order to unlock different jobs, though, you'll need to first complete them in career mode. So if you really wanted to paint the car purple instead of orange, you have to do that in free spray mode but you have to first unlock it in career mode. There are some fun things on the side to do as well. There are hidden secrets, side objectives like spraying the flowers or a beach ball, jumping on a trampoline. There are letters to find and read about the goings-on in Spatterville. I also highly recommend you read the credits. There is some funny shit in there. Something about a horse. There was a whole thing about a horse. Yeah, no horses were used in the show, but really they didn't need horses. It was a whole long rant about horses. There was also something about fjords. Anyway, I think it was a Fjord F-150. Yeah, there are some options you can fiddle with, like spray speed, camera sensitivity, field of view, reticle size, and Y-axis inversion. You can save in the middle of your job and come back when you want, so don't be afraid of the bigger jobs. Another thing I forgot to mention earlier, when you finish a section of your paint, like the panel of a car, you get a very satisfying flash and a sound effect, kind of like in Power Wash Sim, but different. I struggled a little with the Xbox version and switched to Steam. I spoke with the devs and hopefully there'll be a patch for the issues I encountered soon. So far I've been watching a lot of people play and they're not having the issues I had, so hopefully that'll be fine. I had a wonderful time with this game on Steam.
Break stuff?
I'm really great at breaking stuff. But on Steam it was fine.
Everyone the paint flowed fast and smooth. Is good at breaking stuff.
Yay!
It's a talent. Good at
breaking stuff.
I think, when did I break? Like, two games this week? I think there was another game I broke.
Nice. Anyway,
yeah. So far, there are only 7 levels, but some of them are going to take you in the 3 to 5 hour range to complete, like the giant robot. Hopefully, there will be some DLC or content update down the road with more smaller projects, because while this is fun, I didn't always feel like I was making constant progress or getting enough dopamine dings like I did with Power Wash. Like, this is its own game, but it's hard not to compare it. So yeah.
$15. What's your verdict?
That is a great price. I had a great time with this, and if you like chore core games like Power Wash Simulator, I think you're going to like this too. I'd say buy it. Also, you can play it on Game Pass, if you're not sure.
No. Next up, Filmography, developed by Brendan Keesing, published by Dangan Entertainment. Released May 29th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Step into the shoes of an aging man reliving his past through the lens of a boy's camera. Explore vibrant environments, interact with key characters, and capture fleeting memories to recollect life. What's been forgotten that only photos can show? What hidden memories do even photos refuse to share? Free, what's Filmography?
So you start off in a black and white environment as a boy getting your first camera, taking a bunch of photos of your mom in some kind of montage, and then she's reduced to nothing but a picture because she's gone and the only thing left is a giant colorful photo behind you. You walk into the photo like a magic portal and are transported to the living room of an old man. The old man's face is some animated scribble, and now I'm having a flashback to a sleep deprivation hyper-reality episode I had when I was a teenager. Turns out most of the people here are animated scribble, which is kind of disturbing. The old man tells you to live a good life and take photos as memories with your camera, unlike him, and so we go out into the town and do just that. The old man's kind of living his life through our photos, and he won't move on until all his photo frames are full. And it's in the title, FOMO, fear of missing out. We don't want to end up like the faceless old man. But most of the game is about taking photos. There are some light puzzles and other tasks, like evicting people from their apartment. But mostly you solve everything with your camera. There are a lot of places to explore, to find things, to take photos for your massive collection. There's forests and plains, the desert, the beach, and more to find animals, plants, and fungus, and other things. This is another game where some events only happen at certain times of day, so you can sit on benches to pass the time. Characters like shopkeepers have regular hours, so you can visit them or deal with them during those times only. And there are mini-games like Shooting Lion Safari and a shooting gallery that you shoot with your camera. Clever that. You'll also run into characters that need things done, like finding all the dangerous fungi, photographing flowers for the florist, taking promo shots for the bazaar so that she can sell all of her stuff, taking photos for the artist to make better paintings from, and locations for a travel agency, to name a few. As you finish tasks for other people or win at games, you get upgrades for your camera and your photo album. Once you get more upgrades, more things will be available to you, like challenges in the bazaar that need specific lenses, flashes, or print types for. Doing the bazaar tasks also act as a really good tutorial on what you can really do with your camera and the character to get great shots. In most cases, you can retake shots with your album later on, or for your album later on, or when you've unlocked all the cool lenses and filters to get the 5-star ratings for everything, because there is an achievement for having a complete photo album with an average 5-star rating, which is going to be there's kind of magic about your photos, and people can just pluck things from them, like flowers right out of them. You can also use the photos to fast travel to different locations using the map in your album, just to get there and snap a shot first. There are settings for puzzle and reflex difficulty, left-right handedness, and imperial versus metric measurements. I don't know that I ran into any issues with any of those things, needing those things, but I thought that that was interesting that there were settings for those things. But it's a lot of game.
Good. $20. What do you think?
It's a good amount of content and exploration to do. It's a solo developer who put in a lot of work. If you like exploration and collectibles and photography, I think you'll really like this one. It's a buy it.
Nice. Next up, Stunt Flyer, developed by Taurus Games, published by Ultimate. Released May 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S. For $11.99, Stunt Flyer is a vibrant flying adventure led by sibling duo Jimmy and Sophie. The sky is in a world filled with wild inventions, fantastical flying machines from UFOs and gyrocopters to nimble jets. Each aircraft is unique and fully customizable. Variety of gadgets and Jacob with Stunt Flyer.
So Stunt Flyer is a family friendly plane flying game, and like the easiest way to put it is it plays like Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge, but for kids. And so you are given, there's a couple of different maps that you can go between. And apparently there's a story. I couldn't really determine where it was, but I couldn't find it on the huge map. But there's a bunch of different activities that you can do, and you start off with a single plane, and you can choose which pilot you want to be. And as you progress, there's skins that you can unlock for your planes, along with other different types of planes that are out there. And I initially believed that there would probably be like no difference, and it was just going to be like a skin swap, essentially, or a model swap for all the different planes out there. Like, this would just be like some humdrum kids game. But it actually turns out each plane has differences in it. And so some are really good at, you know, doing tricks. Some are really fast. And so certain planes will meet what you need to be able to do on the island, or islands, I should say. And there is a lot to do. Like, there are races you can do. There's photography missions where you have to either use your camera and just take a bunch of photographs. Sometimes you have to follow behind a certain object to just record video for X amount of time. There's also a lot of random stuff that you could just find around the island. There are these presents that you can shoot with your little, like, they look like plungers that your plane shoots out, but I think they're supposed to be like water bombs. I don't know, whatever they're supposed to be. There's these presents all over the islands, and if you shoot them, then they'll unlock these like little plane statues that you'll get bonus points for, and you get bonus points for doing lots of stuff all over the island too, like whether you're flying through hoops or whether you're completing certain random things around the island, like if you want to buzz the control tower by flying really fast right past it, there's an achievement tied to that. There's also little stuff that you can find throughout that's related to missions. It's just like there's a lot to do, and this is it's pretty fun. I wasn't thrilled with how touchy it is at some points with, it's really hard to determine at some points, like, how close you can fly to something without actually crashing. Like, I've had moments where, like, my wing would hit a building and I'd be fine. And then the next thing, it's just, like, I barely scrape by something and, like, my plane crashes and, like, my pilot shakes his head at the screen or the sky. And then you start anew. But, it's just, like, this is a pretty chill and relaxing game. Like, there's, as far as I've made it so far into the game, like, there doesn't seem to be any battles. Like, I mean, there's chases and races and stuff like that. But, it's, as I said, it's like a chill, peaceful version of Crimson Skies. I'm really digging it. Like with the planes that you can unlock, there's stuff that looks like a stealth bomber. You could eventually unlock a UFO somehow that you can have a little alien guy or like fly around and abduct cows with. There's like one of those like little plane helicopter things that James Bond used in one of the movies. Like there's different like World War One and World War Two planes that you can fly around in. It's a pretty varied game, to be honest. And I was, especially for like one that's focused on kids and families, I was not expecting much out of this game, but there's actually like a decent amount of content to it. And I was pleasantly surprised with what I got. That being said, I did have some qualms with it. The game doesn't tell you how exactly it saves, and so you're just kind of on the hope that, you know, it's just saving every time that you, like, get XP or, like, you go through a hoop or something like that. There's no way to, like, just quit to the main menu. The game just starts you off in the game. And my other thing is that I apparently unlocked the plane that looks the Looney Tunes cartoons when, like, Wile E. Coyote is, like, riding, like, the dynamite rocket to chase after Roadrunner. You could unlock one of those. I unlocked it somehow this morning, but the game still shows it is locked for me. So I don't know, like, whether there's other stuff I'm supposed to be completing or what, but, you know, so far one of the planes is still locked for me, even though the game says I should have it. But I'm still having a blast with this thing. So if you like flight games, or like if your kid is into them, like my oldest, he plays Blazing Angels and what was the other one that he likes playing? I forget what, like, he likes playing World War II flight simulators. I know that this game's going to be right up his alley with it. It's heck of a lot more peaceful than those games. So I really like it. I think people should check this one out.
$12 verdict.
I thought it's 15, or is it 12 right now?
Pull up the store. I was under the impression it was $11.99.
Xbox website says it's 15. Maybe that was a pre-order?
Maybe it's a sale price. I don't know. Yeah, $14.99.
$14.99? Oh, shush. No, you're not. $15. Like, whether you're getting this for 12 or 15 bucks, it's totally worth it. I really enjoyed it. And I think people should check this one out.
Awesome. Islands and Trains, developed by Akos Makovic, published by Future Friends Games, released May 29th on Steam for $6.99. Find a train route around the island of your dreams and watch your diorama come to life. Off the beaten track, winding around mountains and crossing lakes, Place animals and edit the surrounding countryside to your liking. There's no goals, no timers, no missions, no mistakes. Just happy accidents. Hockey with islands and trains.
All right. As the description there pointed out, this is basically a diorama builder. You can get all the achievements in the tutorial because it is actually a level. It just tells you how to do things. And basically it tells you how to create land, because otherwise this is just basically a giant ocean, more or less. And you can just place pieces of land on the map and eventually build up an area however you want it to look. You can place land on top of land in order to create small hills that can turn into very large hills, so on and so forth. You can also place things like bridges, different types of buildings, and a handful of animals, stuff like that. And eventually also putting in train tracks and a train as well. And the whole point is just to, you know, build yourself your own little train setting and have fun watching it move around that setting, basically. You know, all those old people who are like, I want to be like a conductor, and then they make the model trains in the city for it to go around, and then they run it. Yeah, that's what you are with this game. Except for it's all digital instead of physical, baby. Woohoo! And yeah, there's not a lot to say here, because it is just you're building a diorama and then putting a train on it to run it around the entire area for the fun of it, really. So there's not actually any real gameplay here to talk about. So yeah, do you like building dioramas? If so, this might be for you, especially if you really like trains. If not, I don't know why you're still listening.
Right, $7. What do you think?
If you're into really fast achievements, or you really like dioramas, yes. Otherwise, you're probably not going to get anything out of this. So I think this one really depends on, do you like dioramas? If so, totally for you, and totally worth the money. If not, this isn't going to change your mind at all.
Next up, Copycat, developed by Spoonful of Wonder, published by New Yim and Neverland Entertainment, released May 29th, Series X and S and PS5 for $14.99. Copycat is a narrative-driven indie game about a pet who learns to deal with abandonment and a human friend, forced to surrender. Together, two souls go on a journey and discover the meaning of family and home. The game's colorful visuals delight the senses while exploring dark thematic depths. Journey on an emotional roller coaster that pulls at the heartstrings and reminds you how it feels to be left behind. I have a feeling I never want to play this game in my life right now, so Bri and Aki, tell me about it instead.
Yeah, get your tissues ready and prepare to hug your pets. Again, warning, this game deals with abandonment and surrendering a pet. It deals with some other heavy topics on the human side too, like a daughter dealing with the failing health of a parent. This game is worth your time though if you can handle the emotional weight of it. This primarily follows two characters, an aged woman named Olive with failing health who's looking for feline companionship after losing her pet, and an older cat at the shelter who doesn't know how to trust humans anymore. This is made by an Australian team of two people, and it's their first game together. The story starts at the pet shelter where Olive is there to adopt a new cat. She wants an older cat, so you go to the room with six cats to choose from. You have a white cat, a tuxedo, a calico orange, a gray tabby, and a black cat. I went with the black cat because those are the least adopted cats, and all the void cats in my life have just been awesome. Olive makes her choice. Yeah. Olive makes her choice and signs the agreement that she'll take care of the cat, who she names Dawn. From here on out, we play from the perspective of the cat, and we get to do catty things. We make messes, steal food, knock things off of tall shelves, rip up the toilet paper, and claw the couch. It's not all bad stuff the cats do, though. You can jump in cardboard boxes, purr, and meow as well. Adopting an older cat with an unknown history is hard. Dawn came from a home where the humans threw things at her and shouted a lot. Transition from a new home. Trusting a human can be hard for the cat. Such is the case with Dawn. She ends up hiding under a shelf in the garage for a few days until she finds the courage to come out and get to know her new surroundings. Then we get some jungle music, like in a nature show, and there's a narrator that gives us an idea of what's going through the cat's head. She imagines herself as a wild cat, at first just wants to escape, but gets used to the good human. We also get an educational component to the game through the nature show aspect with some cat facts rolled into the narration. There's also this white text that pops up as we explore, like, speech bubbles for Dawn's thoughts and the things that she comes across. Like, one cat fact that comes up in the text is that cat-friendly plants include ferns, roses, and golden palms. There are some quick time events to deal with in this game. Most of them are very forgiving, except when it comes to achievements. There's a stealth section with dogs. There's platforming section or two, a runner section, and a few fights. There's also cute mini-games like catching feathers on a stick and pretending it's a fish, which will prepare us later to catch an actual fish. Our nose leads us to places, and that sometimes helps you find the plot by following the little lines. The game does not hold your hand, but instead lets you play through exploration and intuitively guides you to your objective. While you're exploring outside, they use some clever ways to put up boundaries, like you get a sprinkler outside, and sometimes they're just invisible walls, though. Did you want to say something on?
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned it, but occasionally when the cat's walking around the different places, you actually see her thoughts about different things.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's so cute seeing those. Because she is very sassy.
She is.
Like, even when you're dealing with the human, she's still very sassy. Because, like, at first, Olive's like, why don't you come and give me cuddles? And because the cat isn't particularly fond of people at the moment, her two responses with, no cuddle, I don't do cuddles, and the other one is, yeah, in your dreams.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff like that, and it's so funny, because that is how all of her little bubbles are everywhere. Anytime you see her opinion on things, half the time it's her kind of low-key shitting on it, and it's hilarious. I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. And we have dreams of being a big panther and catching rabbits. Dawn's dreams are a way to process what's going on around her, a look into her subconscious for us as the viewer. And just as things start to get comfy and we trust Olive, things take a turn and the old lady goes to the hospital. The daughter doesn't like the idea of the cat, and after seeing the mess she made, kicks her out of the house. And we find out she kicked out the first cat, too. And that cat looked identical to Dawn. There's a mix-up, and the cat they bring in the house is the original cat. And now poor Dawn, too, is left alone outside after she just learned to trust again. The story's not just about abandonment from the perspective of an animal. These are human emotions, too, and that makes the story hard. It's easy to think about the things you did wrong if you're the one being cast out, and it isn't always the fault of the abandonee. Dawn's not good at being an outdoor cat and has to learn how to survive outside. The piano music after Dawn leaves and gives up is sad and beautiful. The narrative storytelling does a great job of building things up to those hard moments, the hard-to-watch moments, and then bringing back some levity to help you cope. And it's hard to talk about the details of this game without spoiling it. I want you to play this for yourself, and I want you to feel stuff. Game takes around 3 hours to complete. Yeah, that's fair for you, Joe.
I don't think I can.
Yeah. The theme of this game, though, is about empathy. Home is not where you live, but where you're needed most. So yeah, I cried a bunch, but I really enjoyed the message of this game. And can I just say, I talked with the devs via email. They took some time to learn my cat's names, and emails were addressed to all three of us. I thought that was absolutely precious. So yeah, Aki, did you have any other thoughts you wanted to share?
Yeah, when you were talking about the achievements for the timing of some of the quick time things, they're harsh. They're very harsh. Yeah. You have to do them perfectly, all of them. for achievements, and it does tell you do it perfectly, and it ain't fucking around. I had to replay the very first one like a dozen times to get it. I finally did get it, but there's a lot of wiggle room when it comes to like chapter select and stuff, because when you go to the continue area, you can actually choose the level, chapter, what have you, and all of them are pretty short, contained little sections, apparently, even though they seem like they're much larger than that. They're actually really short, tiny sections, so even if you end up missing an achievement and you're like, oh, I need to go back and do that, you might spend like 3 minutes, maybe, at most, getting to the area where you needed to do the achievement, so it's very forgiving when it comes to that stuff, which is really nice, especially for someone who's as fucking terrible at everything as I am. I don't know if it keeps track of all of your stuff, if you can move forward, or if you have to play through the entire game from where you went back to, because I was playing the game and I got a little bit into it, and then I turned it back on and went to go continue, and I didn't have a save anymore, and I was very confused, and so I don't know.
That was an issue that should have been addressed with the last patch. That was the reason why I had contacted them in the first place. I was on my second playthrough trying to do some cleanup, and I had no save. So
okay, good. So that's already been fixed. All right, awesome.
Should have been addressed, yep.
So yeah, I really liked it. I went with the calico personally, just because I thought it looked super cute. Even though I treat it like it's an orange one that has a single brain cell to share with all the other orange ones on the planet, as orange ones are one to do. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I have not gotten to the espresso, the depresso parts yet. I'm not looking forward to those parts, but I really do enjoy the game. I like the scent markers actually bringing you where you need to go. That was really interesting because they even change color as you follow them, I assume to tell you when you're getting closer to it, which is nice, even though there's a visual, literal smell stream. So, yeah. And just seeing everything the cat thinks about things, really liked that. I really like this cat. She's a little shit and I love it. That's all my thoughts on it, really.
$15, what do you two think?
Yeah, if you can handle the emotional weight of the game, it's meowvelous. I actually added this to my list of favorite indies of the year so far. I curate a list for every year that I keep on True Achievements, and I would say the price is right. Buy it.
I'm totally for buying it. I think it's a great game.
Good. Next up, Collie Call, developed and published by Aphil Games, released May 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $4.99 each. In Collie Call, you're a super smart pup on a mission, herd all the sheep back to the pasture. It's not as easy as it sounds. There's slippery mud, spinning sheep, and even wacky teleporters, all wrapped up cute retro pixel art style. Jacob, what's Collie Call?
It's Sokoban. Do you like Sokoban? Do you like dogs? Maybe cat, or not cats, but maybe sheep as well? Well, then this might be up your alley. It's fine. Like, honestly, I thought this was a bit easier than other Sokoban titles that Aphil Games has released.
Well, for the uninitiated, what is Sokoban? What is the game?
So you have to take this, you have to take an item, and you have to push it around a map, and you can only push, you can't pull, which is very important, because if you somehow manage to get it up against a wall or a corner, you're probably screwed. If it's against a corner, then you're definitely screwed. But, and so you have to pretty much get it from point A to point B. Usually there's, walls that are in your way, but also there'll be obstacles. And in this one, there's a lot of mud all over the place, which if you put a sheep on the little mud path, it just shoots down somewhere else in the meadow. So you either have to plan your pushes correctly or avoid them. And later on, there's teleporters. And I'm just like, okay, I could get the mud stuff. And I could get, like, you know, some of the other stuff that you might find in a meadow. What kind of meadow are these sheep grazing in that there's teleporters? Come on.
The good kind, obviously. Duh.
No, I don't trust those kind of fields. So, it's just like, I don't know. I thought it was a bit ridiculous at some points, but it overall, it's fine. I just thought the teleporters was a bit much. You know, it took me out of the game, of the Sokoban game. Whatever, spend your $5, it's fine. There's worse games out there.
Alright, any other thoughts?
Not really. I mean, it seems like every 2 weeks AFIL releases a Sokoban game. You know, this is your late May release.
I thought the dog animation was cute at the end when he gets up on his hind legs when he's done, like, getting the sheep to pasture. I thought that was really cute.
I mean, if you like the dog in this, guess what? We already got a sequel that that's already listed on the Xbox store.
All right.
So, yeah, like, the sequel was out, or the sequel was listed before the first game was even released. So, we'll be seeing more of this collie.
He continued. Next up, Higgs Boson Puzzle Collection, developed by Remix Games, published by AFIL Games. Release May 29th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, PS4, PS5, $4.99. Higgs Boson Collection is a trilogy of brain-bending puzzle games where every rotation counts and every second matters. Mission, guide mysterious spheres through a precise network of pathways, but there's a twist. You don't move the spheres, rotate the world around them. Jacob, what's Higgs Boson Puzzle Collection?
So keep in mind that this is, like, when it's like you rotate the world around them, this is not like a 3D puzzle game. It's still very much 2D. But yeah, it's you're given this broken up shape and you have to rotate various pieces to create, like, the actual shape. And then, like, little two molecules will, like, follow through the line and then, like, match, and then you move on to the next puzzle. And sometimes some of these pieces, like, they'll control other pieces along with it, whether it's like a single button push and, like, all of the blue pieces move at the same time, but some pieces are controlled by multiple keys. And so, like, if it's like blue/orange, whenever you move, like, all the blue pieces, that one that's blue/orange is also going to move. But then, like, if you hit the orange pieces, that blue/orange piece is also going to move. And so you really have to start figuring out the timing of these. And most of the time, this is a pretty fun and relaxing game. There were a couple of points where I just brute forced the answer and I'm just sitting there, like, clicking left and right trigger, left and right bumper, and X, and I think A was the other one that you could hit. I don't know. Like, you don't get to hit very many buttons, but, like, I'm just sitting there, like, clicking all of the controller buttons at, like, random intervals and just, like, hoping for the best. And I ended up 2K'ing the different varieties of it. So if you want to, it is possible to do that. Now there is, like, a timed version of it, which, to be honest, I thought that was a bit of a pain on PC trying to play it with a mouse. So if you're going to go that route, you may want to stick to, like, a gamepad. And then there's also, like, a challenge one where you're supposed to get the shape to create in a certain amount of rotation. So, like, you may only have, like, 3 moves that you can make. Those puzzles were pretty dang easy. I mean, if you can guess what the shape is going to be, and so you know which pieces you're going to have to move. Like, so the minimalist and the timed puzzles are really the most challenging out of it. But all in all, I dug it. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just frustrating at times.
was gonna say, I also did the like
the brute force
thing, like trying to. I couldn't figure some of those later ones out.
Yeah, it was. So. I think it was puzzle 20 was the first one that I did it with, and then the next one you're making like Superman Shield, and it's like the easiest thing to do. And I'm just like, I think you guys did this just on purpose to annoy us. but yeah, like I thought it was pretty amusing that for most of it, you know, I'm just like, oh yeah, so I could quickly figure this out. And then it's like level 20. I'm just like, click, 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 fuck it.
Yeah.
So I had fun.
My bucks verdict.
If, yeah. If you're going for the achievements, then yeah, go ahead and buy it. If you're really looking for a puzzle challenge, then you might just want to, then I would call this a try it.
Free.
I would say buy it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really chill, but again, I'm, you know, all about the achievements. So I kind of understand Jacob's sentiment. Yeah.
All right. Final game, Kittens and Yarn, developed by Penal Games, published by Silesia Games, released May 21st. Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $2.99. Kittens and Yarn is a cute and minimalist puzzle game where it's up to you to untangle the yarns by simply swapping the piece. Bree, what's this one?
Well, the intro you just gave pretty well describes the game. You have 40 levels of yarn, untangling puzzles for you to enjoy at your own pace. You have a top-down view of a room with a kitten batting at some yarn attached to some hex tiles that you switch around to make the yarn make sense. Puzzle progression sees more complicated yarn tangles with extra yarn and more kittens. So you'll have like a yellow yarn, a green yarn, pink yarn. There's a black kitten with the yellow yarn, a fluffy cat with the green yarn, a calico, a bengal. One is hiding to add to the tangle later. There are two tedious achievements in this game for swapping 500 and 1,000 tiles, which seems like a bit much for a 40-level game. But the tracker works, so that was great. The music is chill, the cat animations were great, it was an enjoyable puzzle. Not much else to say about it.
Anything else to say about it?
No, just, I mean, like I said, you have, like, you'll have, like, I don't know, an L-shaped bit of yellow yarn and a straight line of pink yarn, and you'll have to move that around. That'll be one of your hex tiles, and you have to switch that with another tile until all the yarns connect in the proper way. I really don't know how else to describe it.
All right,
it's a pretty simple game.
$3. What's your verdict?
I would say the price is right. Buy it. I really enjoyed it.
All right, sounds good. That is it for this episode. Bree, Jacob, Aki, thanks for being here, hanging out, doing your thing, re-recording, blah, 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 blah. Music this episode, as we talked about him earlier, we gotta play some Mustin, right? Mustin, take it away, give us something good.